Jeff Hoyt, narrator.
This is From All Seeing Eye by Rob Thurman. I was heading home in the lazy afternoon, still idly scratching the bug bite, when I first saw the gleam of pink. I'd cut through our neighbor's property, 25 acres of scrubby grass, black snakes, the foundation of a 100-years-gone ice house, and an old abandoned well. The neon flash came from a foot-long scraggle of yellow and weeds. Hideously bright, and a shade found nowhere in nature, it sat there cradled in the grass as bright and cheerful as an Easter egg. Tessie's shoe. She'd lost it. Way out here. I picked it up, and my grip spasmed around the shoe till I heard the crack of a splitting sole. And then I knew. I saw it all. Tess hadn't lost her shoe. The shoe had lost her. I had lost her. Tessie was gone, smothered in water and darkness, her wide blue eyes forever open, her hands floating upward like white lilies as if she were hoping someone would pull her up. No one had. My sister was gone. How did I know? Easy. It was as simple as the river being wet, as obvious as the sky being blue, unstoppable as a falling star. The shoe told me.
This is from Anansi Boys by Neil Gaiman. You think they were happy? Asked Fat Charlie.
In the beginning, said Mrs. Higgler. But not even she could keep his attention for very long. He had so much to do. He was very busy, your father.
Fat Charlie tried to work out if Mrs. Higgler was joking or not.
So much to do? Like what? Fish off bridges? Play dominoes on the porch? Await the inevitable invention of karaoke? He wasn't busy. I don't think he ever did a day's work in all the time I knew him.
You shouldn't say that about your father.
Well, it's true. He was crap. A rotten husband and a rotten father.
Of course he was, said Mrs. Higgler. But you can't judge him like you would judge a man. You've got to remember, Fat Charlie, that your father was a god.
A god among men?
No, just a god, she said,
as flatly and as normally as she might have said he was diabetic, or simply, he was black.
He was not a god. He was my dad.
You can be both. It happens.
Then why aren't I a god, too? Why can't I bet on winning horses or do magic or miracles or things?
Your brother got all that god stuff.
Fat Charlie breathed out and smiled. It was a joke after all, then.
Ah, you know, Mrs. Higgler, I never had a brother.
Oh, yes, you did. I don't miss him. You were always the good one, you know. He was a handful when he was here. He went away when you were just a little boy.
Right.
Don't you say right like that.
Like what?
Like I'm a crazy old woman who doesn't know the price of fish. You think I don't know which way is up?
I'm quite sure you do.
Back when your father was a god, she told him, back then they called him Anansi. He was a spider.
And this is from The Big Burn by Timothy Egan. On the Montana side of the Bitterroots, the biggest concern was the string of upstart towns inside the forest, Taft, DeBorgia, and Saltese. These settlements along the rail line needed evacuation plans, just like Wallace and Avery. Frank Hahn, an older ranger and a man of clear vision and no sentimentality, came up with a novel strategy to get the attention of people in Taft. Instead of starting a typical backfire that burned outward and cleared ground away from town, he considered lighting one that would burn inward, toward town. It sounded like madness, but with Taft mired in self-indulgent lethargy as fire closed in, the Rangers needed some way to jolt townsfolk into awareness of the peril they faced. Ranger Hahn went from saloon to saloon, house to house, trying to find someone, anyone, to volunteer. He even had to goad his own men, the flotsam from Front Street in Missoula, who were instantly drawn to Taft's seedy diversions.
"I thought you hired out to be tough men," said Hahn, taunting his crew. "Who the hell would want to be a quitter?"
Most of the town, it turned out. Hahn was furious.
"Burn it down," he groused to fellow rangers. Screw 'em.
Instead of readying for retreat or defense, instead of digging fire lines or packing clothes and belongings, instead of watering down roofs or gathering shovels and picks, the people of Taft went to work hoarding and then consuming their entire whiskey supply. They simply decided that if they were going to be burned to death in an inferno that engulfed the Bitterroots, they would go down drunk.